to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were here last week, you heard a story about lightening your load, packing with less. This week, we know why. Jesus sent out the 70, two by two, and he said, "Go your way. I'm sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road." Wait, no purse, no bag, no sandals? I travel light, okay? I don't even carry a purse most times. But if you're sending me out to go preach, I don't know where, no purse, no bag, no sandals, that's asking a lot. Our church council wrestled with this text last fall for a couple months. And wrestle really is what you have to do when you're confronted with a story like this. No purse, no bag, no sandals. Do you see what Jesus was doing here? He was sending them out like beggars. And asking them to trust that someone would welcome them. Someone would take them in. Someone would give them food and lodging as they welcomed the message of the gospel. Now, we live in a day and an age that this text is so far removed from our everyday experience. Has anyone ever, without purse, bag, or sandals, come and asked to stay at your house lately? I remember growing up on our family farm. We actually kind of were always prepared for this. Maybe not a total stranger. But you know the story. They never locked the house. I'd ask my parents why, and they said, "Well, somebody might need to get in." But we always had family members that were traveling through. And I remember many nights when there were cousins sleeping on the floor there and aunts and uncles on this couch and that bed and people all over the house. Because if you were traveling back then, there were no motels or hostels or Airbnb. By the way, next week when I'm in St. Paul, not next week, week after, I will be staying at an Airbnb. This is a new experience for me. No coat, no purse, no bag, no sandals. Jesus was sending them out like beggars. They had nothing to give to their hosts except the good news. When you go and the people welcome you, cure the sick and let them know that the kingdom of God has come near. Cure the sick. These are 70 people who were not physicians. And again, we can place ourselves at a distance from this text because I don't know any of us that goes out generally in the public and cures the sick. Can I lay my hands on your head? I think I can cure you. That's not what we do. right? But there's so many things that we can cure or help cure. Relationships, broken hearts. Those are the kinds of things that we can cure. Jesus says, wherever you go, cure the sick. What sicknesses can we be part of curing? I mean, we do have one orthopedic surgeon in the room, but what about the rest of us? What can we cure with the help of Jesus? Some are trying to cure the planet. Because the planet is sick. Mother Earth is sick. Some are trying to cure systems that are broken. Some are trying to mend fences, fix relationships. This is a godly work that you do, trying to cure. Because Jesus sent you. Do you feel like an apostle? This gospel text is a turning point. Because before this, everyone was a disciple. Jesus was the great teacher, and everybody else was a learner. A disciple is a learner. But once you've been sent, you are an apostle. Literally, the sent ones. And brothers and sisters in Christ, in your baptism, you were commissioned to be sent. So we come together on Sunday mornings and we gather up a little more nerve and we fill our spirits and we grow in our courage and we learn to lean on our brothers and sisters here. But that is all nourishment for the rest of the week where we are sent to wherever we are called to go. To the people we are called to be with. To the settings and situations where we are. We are healers and proclaimers of the kingdom. We are the sent ones. But also, we are called to be those who receive. Receive the sent ones, receive in peace. Those who have nothing to give us. Do you see the blessings in this text that are given to those who receive the ones who are sent? The ones who have nothing to offer in return? One of my Episcopal colleagues tells a story about a fighter pilot during World War II. Staff Sergeant Ty Weaver was manning the top turret gun on a B-17 during a bombing mission somewhere over Germany when his airplane came under deadly fire. This was 76 years ago. Ty was hit badly, his left arm blown off, and he fell from the top turret onto the navigator below him. Bleeding badly, the crew knew that Ty wouldn't make it the 4 hours it would take to return to the safety of Allied ground. So they strapped him into a parachute, put on the ripcord in his remaining hand, and pushed him out of the bomber, somewhere over Germany, believing his only chance of survival lay in the hands of his enemies. And it was a small chance, not just because of his injuries. During World War II, bombers and paratroopers were despised by the Germans. The Nazis had labeled them terror flyers, and even everyday folk were known to round up airmen like Tai who had bailed out and to execute them on the spot. The Gestapo had banned the people from giving aid and were themselves known to execute prisoners like Tai, claiming they'd tried to escape. Bleeding and near death, Tai parachuted into this land, into a culture and a country that viewed him with open hostility at best, and as less than human at worst. He landed with a heavy thud in a field, a helpless sheep among ravenous wolves. Except, as fate would have it, his parachute caught the eye of a young German girl, and she found him before anyone else could. Defying both her culture and her country, she went to him and helped him. Because of her, Tai wound up in the care of a local doctor at first. Eventually, he would be transferred to an infamous POW camp and later sent home in a prisoner exchange. But had that young girl obeyed the law of her land and minded its dominant culture, had she not welcomed this stranger, this enemy, as she would a friend, Tai would have died that July day, bleeding out in a German field. And this is where my colleague brings it home. John Henson writes, "And that would have been a disaster for me, because he never would have made it home to Alabama, where he would marry and have kids. My wife Amber would never have gotten to hear the heroic story of her granddaddy T, and we would have never had the chance to fall in love and marry were it not for that small moment of heroic kindness and the countercultural welcome of a nameless young German girl." Never neglect to show hospitality to a stranger, for some have entertained angels unawares. What is it to receive someone with no purse or bag or sandals? It might just be to receive the kingdom of God. To be participating in the hope of the world. The kingdom of God has come near. Our question every day is, how will we proclaim it? How will we receive it? As you ponder these things, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.